me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8
this morning.
As you're turning there, my introduction. Recently, for our English service, our once a month English service, we've been mostly looking at people from the Bible, people that the Lord met, people that the Lord Jesus encountered along the way during his time here on earth. We've been studying these people from the Gospels. That's where we see their lives and seeing their reactions, their actions, how they reacted to when they met the Lord, different ones, different occasions, their experiences. We have seen some things they learned from the Lord. And so today, again, I want to focus this morning on someone else, someone who met the Lord, a certain someone, and her life was changed forever. Certainly when any one of us meets the Lord, our life is changed. Sadly, some people, in some uses of the word, we might say, meet the Lord and they reject him, and that's obviously very sad. Thankfully, there are many people who meet the Lord and their lives are changed forever. And so we want to focus on one person this morning. Luke chapter 8, we'll read verses 1 through 3 to start with. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. So here we have the Lord, and he's preaching, and he's traveling, and showing the glad tidings, it says, of the kingdom of God. And it says the 12 are with him. The 12 apostles are there with him. I look at verse 2. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. This morning we want to focus on one lady mentioned here, Mary Magdalene. God had done a great thing for her. Look at the simple description in here. What it says in verse 2, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And then it specifically says, Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Now, we're not exactly sure of the meaning here, but just by the simple implication of it alone, it sounds incredible to me. This woman was possessed by some sort of spirit, seven spirits, according to this. The Lord had cast them out of her, had healed her. We often use the term healed, and sometimes when we think about it, we think of it just as, examples throughout the New Testament, the blind man that was healed or the lame man that was made to walk. But here is a woman who was afflicted with some sort of, it just describes it as seven devils. Many have speculated whether it was some sort of mental problem or what the issue was. I don't know exactly. But I know that a great thing happened to her when she met the Lord. Here she's gathered, it says. They're gathered with the 12 and with other women and other followers of the Lord. And they were helping the Lord. Look at what it says there in verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. These women and others were ministering to the Lord. I like that. Oftentimes we think about the Lord just ministering to us. But it says here that she was ministering to the Lord. She was providing for his needs as he traveled. I don't know how often these women traveled with him. I don't know if they were a group that just constantly went wherever he went. But it says they were ministering to the Lord. That's a good lesson. They were providing for him. But we go on to say that there's much written about Mary outside of the Bible. This morning we're just going to focus on what the Bible says. We're going to go on to another passage here in a few moments. But just a moment, I'd like to stop here and say it's a very dangerous thing to try to figure out some things that are not in the Bible. We'll just say it this way, on your own, or by man's history books, or by what man can conjure up. Because interesting things have been written about Mary. There have been a lot of theories about her. Again, I won't get into all the details there, but it's pretty sad what man can do to God's Word and to the people in God's Word when he puts his humanistic mind to it. But the facts are the facts, and the facts, the way I understand them, are only from the Bible. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. And we're going to look at this, that she loved the Lord. She ministered to the Lord. She cared about him. She cared for his needs. And we're going to see that later as well. She showed her love for him. She shows her love here along with the others where it says, which ministered unto him of their substance. These ladies, these other people, they ministered to the Lord as he had ministered to them. Well, isn't that a beautiful picture? God cares for us. We care for God and for the things he cares about. A perfect picture of what we're supposed to be. Love and gratefulness is what we see in Mary's life, I believe. A gratefulness, a thankfulness in her life. She's a great example to us. But we continue on, and we'll skip around a little bit here. Go to the book of Mark, and we'll see another passage over here in Mark chapter 15. This is at the crucifixion. I just want to look at one verse here in Mark chapter 15 and verse 37. It says, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Mark chapter 15, verse 37. This is the crucifixion. This is where our Lord died on the cross for our sins and took our sins upon him. Continuing verse 38 through 40. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that, he so cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Look at that. There we see, again, an outsider here, a centurion, who was marveled at what happened when he was there in the presence of the Lord. And finally, verse 40, there were also among, women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, the less, and of Joseph, and Salome. So here we see her, Mary Magdalene. She's here at the crucifixion. She's there with the women gathered together, the same women, some of the same women who had ministered unto him, women who loved him. And Mary was there. We don't know what happened to her between. The Bible doesn't give us much detail. Okay, during that three and a half year period in there, there's so little written in the Gospels about what happened. It would be amazing and wonderful to know everything. But we know Mary was there in the beginning, and here she is in the end, at least the end of his earthly life. No doubt she saw a lot during that time. She saw him perform miracles. She saw him help others that she had helped him. She witnessed his death here. It says she's afar off, gathered with some of the women. She saw the crucifixion. She's just seen his death here. And it had an effect on her. And it should. Jesus' life affected many people, including Mary. There were a lot of people there. The disciples, many were there. His own mother, his own family were there watching as he was crucified as well. This morning we're going to continue looking at Mary's life and just see what happens after this and what this effect had on her life and think about some things that she experienced and see if we can learn from her. See if we can learn from her devotion to the Lord, learn from her faith and from her faithfulness. And what can we learn? So let's go on, and we're going to look at the book of John for the account of just after the crucifixion. So go with me with John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and we'll start at verse 1 here. This is after the crucifixion, and the Lord's some have come and taken his body down. He's been buried in the tomb. So let's start at verse 1. John chapter 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So again, the Lord's been crucified, he's been buried, and here Mary has come to the tomb. The same Mary that we saw earlier has come to the tomb. Now this was a custom after burial in those days, that people would come to the tomb for several days afterwards, family members, close friends, loved ones, we would call them today, would come to the tomb to pay their respects. People might have come often immediately following. But here we have it 3 days later, and Mary has come, and she's come by herself here, as far as we know. She's come to visit a loved one. We use that description in English. We go to visit a loved one. The Lord certainly was a loved one to her. She cared about him. Again, what did it say earlier? And I love that phrase earlier. He had ministered to her, and we saw earlier with Italy that she was ministering to him. And now she's come back to see what's happened. You know, it's early, it's still dark. And that's what it said, first day of the week cometh Mary early, when it was yet dark, early in the morning. It's still dark out. And she's out on her way to the tomb to see what's going on. I think that she was probably very eager, Probably she didn't understand all that had happened. From what we see, even from the account of the other disciples, no one fully understood. No one fully understood what the Lord meant when he made reference to coming back, rebuilding this temple, and things like that. They didn't fully understand it all. But here she's come, and she's got questions, I'm sure a lot of them, but she's come. And she's there. And she gets there, and look at verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon. I'm sorry. Verse 1 and then verse 1 again. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth, cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Look at her first impression when she sees that stone taken away. I imagine she was shocked. She didn't expect to see that. It was the custom at that time to bury someone like that. It would go down, place the body in there, roll a stone over the front of the tomb, and that would be it. People would come and visit the grave site, but they would certainly not go into the grave. They would certainly not expect to find the stone rolled away, but it had been. She's probably thinking, what has happened here? So her immediate reaction, I really like her immediate reaction, because she turns, says she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That would be John. She comes to them and tells them what she has seen. Someone has taken the stone away. They have rolled the stone away. The sepulchre is empty. The tomb is empty. What has happened here? She could not believe what had happened. Her Lord had died. She had seen it. She saw it with the others. She knew he had been buried. But now he's not there. But it's interesting that she comes back. We'll skip down. We'll read verse 3 on down, so we can get the context of what happens right after this. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came back to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. Verse 5, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away into their own home. But look at verse 11 with me. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stood down and looked into the sepulchre. So now, I didn't say this earlier, but when Peter and John returned back, Mary came back with them. She came back to that sepulchre right away. And here Peter and John look in and see the scene here. It's empty, just as they thought. The grave clothes are there, the way they were. They leave. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, verse 11 says. She stood without, weeping. She stood and wept. She couldn't believe it. You know, some might quit at this point. And we'd find, of course, if we were to take a look at this story and other details, and some of the disciples and what they did, Peter and some of the others, they basically were ready to quit. But you know, we see in Mary someone who wasn't willing to quit. She just stayed there. She was weeping. Her heart was broken, but she wasn't going anywhere. It seemed impossible what had happened. It seemed like an impossible situation. His body's gone. He's not here. We relied on him. He died. He's gone. What are we going to do now? But she didn't go anywhere. She didn't leave. And she didn't leave. She was persistent. Persistent. I think we see in her something that we should see in ourselves. Persistence. She was willing to wait. She was willing to wait on the Lord and his timing. Now the disciples, even though it says in the verse they didn't understand yet what he meant by that he would rise from the dead. But yet he had told them, I'm not leaving you. Physically, yes, he was leaving them, but the disciples didn't fully understand it all. Mary probably didn't fully understand it all either, but she wasn't going anywhere. Early in the morning, she came back to that tomb and she found it empty. But she didn't go anywhere except to go tell the others who she knew cared about him as well, who she knew they would want to know the news. She went and told them, but she didn't leave. She was persistent. They left and walked away. And as far as we know, had no intentions of coming back. The Bible doesn't make it clear that until the Lord appeared to them later. But her tears, her persistence, her willingness to wait led to other things. Other examples of her life, and we'll look at those next. But they led to other things that we can learn from her. She had persistence. She also was sincere. And that's a very important trait. Let's look at that here. Continuing on. Verse 12. And this is Mary. "And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus." Let's stop there. She says, they have taken the Lord. She told the disciples the same thing. I go there, I went to the tomb this morning early, and they've taken our Lord. Here when these angels confront her, she says, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord. He was her Lord. It was personal to her. He was the one who had cleansed her. He was the one who had showed her the truth. He was her Lord. And she said to those angels there, she said, they have taken away my Lord. If you have taken him, please tell me where he is. I will go and I will get him. I think that's amazing. I will go and I will get him. I don't know where they laid him. I don't know where he is. Practically speaking, that's pretty incredible. Here's this woman saying, I'm going to go and find his body. And she's by herself. And carry this grown man's body back here to this place where I know he should be. That's part of the practical side of it. I think the real practical side of it here is that she was sincere. She'll go and get him. She'll do whatever it takes. He was her Lord. She put it on a personal level. She was sincere about it. She cared. I'll go and I'll get him. I wonder how sincere we really are when we say things like that. When we say things about God or about his word, are we really sincere? I don't know. When I see it in Mary, I really feel like we can see her real sincerity, real truthfulness. It's easy to stand and pray a prayer full of beautiful words. It really is. I remember growing up as a little boy in church hearing memorized prayers, wrote prayers that we would just learn by memorization. Well, they sure were pretty. And I'm not knocking that to some extent. But there's nothing like opening your heart to the Lord and just talking to Him. I think Mary was that kind of person. But we're not careful. We can fall into a trap, an insincere trap, a trap of insincerity. Because the sincere heart is different. Now, of course, the Lord knows our heart. And people on the outside can hear what you say and not know the truth. And if that's our purpose, to deceive others, and humans are pretty good at deceiving other humans. Sadly, that's part of the sin nature. It's pretty easy to deceive others. You can't deceive the Lord. You can't fool the Lord. He knows. And I believe he knew Mary's heart here. That's why we see this story of her here given to us as an example of what our sincerity needs to be like. Seeking the truth. Just sometimes, thinking about praying again, sometimes we just need to be silent and just pray. We don't need to tell others. We don't need to make it outward thing that man can see. We just need to pray. Because a sincere heart, like Mary's, I believe, acts out of truth from the heart. And Mary was that kind of person. She wanted the Lord's body back. Look at verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why seekest thou? Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. I will take him away. The Lord says, Why are you crying? Well, of course, she doesn't know this is the Lord at this point. But the Lord knows all about us. He knows everything. But you know what he wants us to see in ourselves? What he automatically sees. He wants us to see our own heart for what it is and for what it should be. And maybe it's where it should be, and that's great. He'll reveal that to you. But if it's not where it should be, he'll show you. That's what he wanted Mary to see. His words, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She needed to see herself, who she was really seeking. And she'd already said it earlier anyway. She said, I'm seeking my Lord. I'm looking for my God, my Lord, my God that died in my place. I'm looking for him. Do you know where he is so I can go and I can get him? Wow, I think that's powerful. I think that's a wonderful example for us. What else do we see? Let's continue on. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and to your God. Finally, verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Wow. She now realizes, this is my Lord. This is the Lord. And look what she calls him. She says, she turned herself and saith unto him in verse 16, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. The word master here means teacher. And you know what? Simply said, the Lord had taught her a lot. During the Lord's time on earth, he taught. He taught a lot. You read the Gospels and find where there would be small groups or just an individual one-on-one or small groups of people or large gatherings of people. Thousands and thousands that day that they fed the 5,000 plus that day the Lord was teaching. And that's a wonderful example for us, seeing teaching groups like that. But in that group is made up of individual people like you and I. And the Lord taught them and he taught Mary and she recognized that in him. She says, you're my teacher. You have been my teacher. He had taught her so much and now she had a message. Look what he says to her. Touch me not. You don't understand it. He said, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. He gave her the responsibility, the purpose, the privilege to take the message back to the others. Our Lord is alive. Wow. Wonder why he gave it to her. Because I believe she had the ability, so to speak, to take that message unreservedly to the others. She was an enthusiastic person. That's why she was still there. That's why she came early in the morning. That's why she waited. That's why when she came back to tell the news, she went right back with the disciples back to the tomb. She wasn't leaving her Lord. When he wasn't there, she was seeking to find him. And he knew that about her. Look at Matthew 28 and verse 8. Just one verse with me. I think it's important. It's the same story. Matthew 28 and verse 8. Same story here. But we see here a little more about her enthusiasm. It says, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre. This is about Mary Magdalene. With fear and great joy. And did run to bring his disciples word. With fear and great joy. Wow. That's enthusiasm. That's excitement. You know, fear and joy are part of enthusiasm, part of excitement. Fear is an exciting thing at times. You think sometimes about fear and we just think about fearful, dreadful feelings. Fear is an exciting thing. Joy is certainly that. What a perfect combination, fear and joy that we see here. You know, again, Mary stayed at the tomb and all the others left. But she was the one who saw the Lord. She was the first to see him. And now she has a message to deliver. The Lord says, you've seen me, now you take this message. And her fear and her joy drive her. They are her motivating factor here, her enthusiasm. It's a fearful thing. I imagine it probably was a fearful thing going early in the morning down to the tomb by herself. I imagine it was a very fearful thing when she stood there and walked up to it and they said it was dark. Perhaps she had a light, a torch. I don't know. It said it was early in the morning, dark. Somehow when she got close enough to that door and realized that stone was rolled away. I mean, I'm sure that some fear had to come over her. I don't like walking through cemeteries of any kind today anyway. We were having a little conversation about that the other day. It's not that I'm worried about it, okay, that the body is gone. I don't believe in those kind of things at all. It's just a feeling. It's just kind of a unnerving feeling. I just don't like them. It's a me. But you know what? We're human beings and we have emotions and we have fears and we have all those kind of things. But this fear is a little bit different. Because this fear was a fear of, I believe anyway, with Mary. I so want to see my Lord. I so want to be with my Lord again. And you can see that in her life. And she got there and it was gone. The stone's gone. She looks inside. It's empty. She runs back and tells the disciples and comes back. And she stays there. The disciples, at least from the we didn't read it here this morning, but from the stories, the way the Gospels present it, basically returned and went about their business. But Mary stayed, and she waited on her Lord. And it says she had fear and she had joy when she saw his face and knew that it was really him. What a wonderful, wonderful example for us. Think about this for just a moment. She turned around with her great news, her fantastic news. This big news that she was given. She turned around and ran back and shared it with the others. Think about something like this. You ever had any big news that you just had to tell? Good news that you just couldn't wait to share with others. You just knew that others would want to hear it. Other people would want to hear this news. That's how Mary was. She held in her hands and her mind and her heart right then great news for those that already love the Lord. And of course we know it's also great news for those who didn't know the Lord yet. It's great news for everyone living then and has lived since then and living today. The Lord is alive. That's what she went and told the disciples when she returned. She came back and she told them the Lord is alive. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. She said, I've seen him. He's alive. That was her message. Wow. We hold that news, that greatest news of all, that best of all news, we hold it in our hands. The Lord, the Savior, is alive. He died on that cross, just like we saw this morning, for every person, whoever has lived, whoever will live. He died in their place on that cross. Of course, we learn this from His Word, don't we? We learn from stories like Mary's, like we've seen this morning. You know, we're real people, just like Mary was. She was just a real person. We need to be sure that we look at the Bible like that. Mary was just a person who came in contact with the Lord. She was no different than you and I, except for the timetable in which she lived. She was someone who met the Lord. He changed her life. She was so excited about it. She was so enthused. She was so encouraged by it. She was persistent. She had all those traits. You know what? We ought to have. We ought to be the same way in reference to how we handle the Lord and the message and the news He's given us. Her persistence, let's think about that for just a moment. Her persistence was real. Our persistence needs to be real. It's easy to put up a front of fake persistence, we'll call it. It may look good on the outside, and others may not be able to see it. But as I've already said, the Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows our heart. The Lord knows everything about us. We cannot hide from Him. So we shouldn't try to. Her persistence was real. Her sincerity is real. Sincerity is very important. It's a key thing in serving the Lord, in living for the Lord, in just being who God wants us to be. Sincerity. Being real. People oftentimes will say of others, people who came to know the Lord will say, you know, I came to know the Lord, I believed in the Lord, I went to church the first time because someone who was a believer, some other Christian, I could see in their life. I could see sincerity in their life. I could see something in their life. Now that's not bragging on the person. I'm not trying to do that. I am trying to say though that people are watching you and I, believers. And people are watching us. People do see us. God sees you too. God sees us too. God wants us to be persistent. He wants us to be sincere, real. He wants us to have enthusiasm. Mary's was real. Everything about her was real. Again, I believe that's why the Lord allowed her to be the first one. That's why the Lord appeared to her. That's why when she says there in John chapter 20, when she says, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener, said unto her, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He called her name. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. He revealed himself to her, and she knew it. You know, he reveals himself to believers constantly in different ways in different situations and says to us in that still small voice, do this, go here, speak to this person. We're influenced in different ways. It's at that point that we make a choice. Will we be real? Will we be sincere? Will we obey the Lord? That's really what it comes down to. Well, we see that in her life. We don't see anything else about Mary after the Gospels end. I don't know what happened to her life. That's when we get back over to that thing I mentioned earlier, which I won't dwell on, where man has tried to pick up her as a character and do things with her that the Bible doesn't say at all. But you know what? I just want to believe the Bible. I just want to believe what God says. And I believe God gives us a wonderful example of someone here who met the Lord sometime in her life, and the Lord changed her life forever. It says he removed from her seven spirits. What exactly does that mean? I really don't know. I really don't need to know. Because you can see from that and the other accounts in her life and here that he changed her life forever. If you've ever encountered the Lord and trusted him as your Savior, he truly has changed your life forever. And he wants to do that for others too. And he gives us the privilege and the responsibility to share his gospel with others, to pray for others, to encourage others, to help each other. But we need to do it the way Mary did it, everything we see in her life. Enthusiastically, sincerely, praying and asking the Lord, recognizing the Lord for who he is. Look at what she says again. She says to him, "You're my master. You're my teacher, Lord. You've taught me so much. I need you," is what she means there. "I need you, God." And God says, "I know that about you, Mary. I recognize who you are. You go back and take this message to my disciples. They need this message now. And you're going to be the one who's going to deliver it to them." What a privilege. What a responsibility. We all have that same privilege and that same responsibility today. We can deliver this message, this truth to other people. What a blessing. What a privilege. What an opportunity we have to serve the Lord and to live for him. Just like Mary did on her own way today. So let's be like she was. Let's be sincere. Let's be persistent. Let's not quit. Because the Bible makes it real clear. He's traveling up and down, seeking whom he may devour. And by the way, if you're a Christian this morning, that's directed at you, because he doesn't have to devour those who don't know him yet, because they're already his, so to speak. And devour there means to destroy their ability, your ability, my ability, our ability to serve the Lord, to live for him. That's what that means. That's his purpose. God's purpose is the opposite of that, that we might live for him and serve him and share his love with others, honor him with our life. Wow. We can't do that unless we do it the way Mary did it. Sincerely, enthusiastically, that's the key. Let's don't be Mary, of course. Her time is come and gone and we can learn from her. Well, let's be like Mary. Let's be like what God says. Be who God wants us to be. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for the time together this morning. And thank you for your word. Thank you, God, so much for your love for us. Thank you for your word and for what it means to us. What we hope it will mean to others as they hear it as well, Lord. I pray, God, that you work in our hearts, Lord. For those of us here this morning, Lord, who know you as Savior, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to do all that we can, to pray, to share, to love others as you would have us to love them, and they can see you in us and we can share your word and your love with others, God. What a wonderful privilege that is. What a wonderful responsibility that is. Thank you for that, God. But we need to do it through your strength and through your power, through faith, God. Do it enthusiastically. Do it sincerely. Do it as Mary lived. We saw her example this morning. Thank you, God, so much. Bless the remainder of this day, God. The following services, Lord, the baptismal service, which is to follow today. Again, baptism in itself being an example of our obedience to you. Lord, we need to be obedient to you. Lord, I pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.